it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I am Gene Bolduc, your host. And my guest today is my most favorite nation guest, Penny Rich, Chair of the Orange County Commissioners. Welcome, Penny.
Hi, Gene. I'm supposed
love
to say,
you,
how are you?
Yes, yeah. How are you? I am fine. You know, I'm trying to come up, if we were just talking about this, I'm trying to come up with more creative answers to that. My kind of go-to answer at this point is, I'm good. I hope you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, which I thought was great. Maybe you and I can think about this one. When I said, how are you? They said, just right. Just right. You know, okay.
That wasn't Goldilocks, was it?
And just right.
I could see you hanging with Goldilocks, you know. I don't know. Do you want a small coffee? Do you want a large coffee? Well, I'll have a medium. It's just right.
It's just right.
I think there should be an entire, boy, we had no plan to talk about this. I think there should be a whole series of books about life with Goldilocks, all about keeping it in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And it could be about politics, but mainly it's about don't be excessive in one direction or another. Nothing is ever completely right or completely wrong. Things are usually much more in the Goldilocks zone. I need to come up with a term for it.
Yeah,
the Goldilocks zone, which is, I think that's where most of America is, kind of right down the middle.
Yeah, I like Goldilocks zone. I like that. It's, as opposed to like gray areas, you know, when we talk black and white,
right,
you just said, and that gray area. But Goldilocks zone sounds much more, you know, you can get that into your head and it can stay there. So we're just right.
You really don't want to be driving down the middle of the road all the time because, you know, people could be coming in the other direction and that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for an awful lot of stuff, for managing conflict politically in the broad society, for resolving problems in your own personal life and with your family, boy, you're much better off trying to keep it in the Goldilocks zone. I'm gonna create a graphic. This is gonna be a whole thing. You want a t-shirt?
I love it. I do. I love it.
This was invented on the Weekend Water Cooler, which airs first on September 12th, 2020. Just want to document that.
Awesome.
For the patent office. Okay.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Well, like anyway, it. So listen, you're of the Northeast New York zone variety, speaking of zones. And as we are recording today, it's 9/11. So my first question for you is, what have we learned in the last 19 years?
Hmm.
I ask the easy questions here on the water cooler.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a tough one. You know, especially, you know, every time 9/11 comes close, it brings up such memories for people in the Northeast, but all over the country, really.
Right.
But, you know, I posted on Facebook. I mean, I was young, little, when they started building the World Trade Centers. I was a little kid.
I watched
them being built. I went to a summer camp that was just across the water from where they were being built. So it was in Jersey City, and it was called Skyline Cabana Club. And you would climb up this high, high ladder to jump off the high board, and you could see, you know, the progress of them building the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was such a special thing to do, right? You didn't really want to jump off that high board because it was scary as hell, but climbing up there to check out New York City in the middle of the day in the summer was pretty cool.
What a view.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was such a special, those buildings were so special to people in the Northeast and that grew up in that area. But what have we learned since then? Well, we've learned how as a country to pull together, right? Because that's what we did right after 9/11. Everybody felt really close to each other, and you had to hug, you had to find your family, you had to talk to everyone.
Right.
You had to make sure that you were wrapping your arms around everyone and anyone. I mean, I had already been in North Carolina, so trying to call family in New York, you couldn't get through to them, right? Because
all
the towers were down.
That was scary all by itself.
It was really scary. So But we learned how to do that. We learned how to come together. And then, you know, you and I were just talking a little about before we started recording is we also now learned how to be apart. And it's really unfortunate that we took that learning how to be together, embracing each other, having empathy for each other, and how quickly that fell apart. So, you know, that lesson is a hard lesson that we're actually still working on and dealing with because we're so polarized right now in this country. Right. I think we also learned how politics can twist stories to get mm-hmm. us in worse situations than we are. And that's what happened right after 9/11. We got into a bad way, and we're in wars that started after 9/11. We're still in those wars. I mean,
yeah. And you know, at that time, when they were talking about going into Iraq and that we were in part already in Afghanistan by that point of March of the next year, I remember seeing military analysts interviewed at the time. And the question was, what would it take to transform this region to stabilize it, to put it in the kind of category where Americans and the Western world basically could feel good that it was a stable, democratic-like region with elected republic government and the like. And they said, "Oh, we can't do that. That would take 20 years." Well,
we're at 19, and we're still not going to be able to.
We're nothing close to that.
And it can't happen, right? You can't put your values and take them into another country and say this is what you're going to do. It doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. Right. That whole power structure of we're going to tell you what to do, that doesn't work.
So I think that one thing that we're maybe a little bit starting to get is some humility about, you know, I remember seeing Obama interviewed at the end of his presidency, and they said, you know, what's the most stirring, you know, thing that you can tell us about lessons that you've learned about power and so on? And he says, oh, that's easy. The longer you're president, the more you understand how little your power is. And he's talking about simple, straightforward power, the ability to say, I want blank, make blank happen. And he said, you know, there's not much that you can do as president in the because I said so category. And that's because, you know, he had the intellect to understand, for example, when it came to gay people serving in the military, that even if he could issue an executive order and maybe fight it out in the courts, the way to do this was through consensus, through the Congress, to wipe out the law that existed, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law, because it was a law before, and change it in a manner that was not reversible, so that the next guy can't come in and take the same pen and say undo. And boy, I guess it's a good thing he did that, isn't it?
On some of the things,
the next
right?
guy would have done that in a hot minute.
Yeah, he likes his Sharpie and comes in and does undo on everything without even thinking, though.
Changes the weather forecast, yeah.
Right, exactly. The hurricane, yeah, I know. Yeah,
Oh, sometimes it's too bad, I think, that the Weekend Water Cooler doesn't have the benefit of the video for our faces when we say these things, because
I know, right?
Penny's got a couple of really good straight to the camera, you got to be kidding me faces.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, I like that. That's a good one. You got to be kidding me.
He stays out of the Goldilocks zone.
You know, it's still, I'm just getting back to 9/11. It's still, I think that it's still a challenging conversation for people to have about 9/11. Because when you say, what are the lessons learned? we might have learned those lessons for a very short time, but we didn't embrace those lessons and keep those lessons going. And I think that's something it's wrong right now with what's going on in our country. And you know, 9/11 brought us together, but it also showed us how far apart we actually are too.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I do give, you're not going to hear this every day, I do give George Bush credit for stepping up right after that and standing up to the voices of hatred, is the only way I can put it, toward, you know, this blanket idea toward Muslims. And he stood up to that, spoke out against that pretty vigorously. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but in the space where the plane hit, and in the Pentagon, there is in that physical space when it was rebuilt, there is a Muslim prayer space in that location in the Pentagon. You know, that didn't happen by accident.
Right.
So, you know, he did know to step up about that. He certainly screwed up plenty of stuff, but that was one thing that he did okay by me. I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a huge George Bush fan either, but he knew how to surround himself with people that were smart, whether we agree with them or not.
Right.
They were smart, right. and they knew how to run government.
That's true.
That's why you have places like a Muslim prayer center in the Pentagon, because that's a mature, adult, empathetic thought that comes through lots of conversation with smart people that you surround yourself with. That's something that's lacking right now in our government. We don't have that surrounding of
our government in Washington.
In Washington, yeah.
Yeah. We have it here. We have it here.
North Carolina
Weekend
General Water Assembly is a little bit scary, but yeah. Here right here. We are
all right. We're gonna surround ourselves with positivity, and we're gonna take a brief break. We're talking with Penny Rich on the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, chair of the Orange County Commissioners, for a little while longer, the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, well, until first week in December. Yeah, first week in December.
And then in December, you're free.
I will.
Free.
December's going to be interesting. I you know, take a little break and a deep breath and, you know, just relax a little bit. It's going to be interesting.
Have to figure out how to do that. You better go buy a book and figure it out.
Well, you know,
I'm going to be good at it.
I'm not very good at it. You know me.
I know.
I actually bought a new pair of running shoes that are I'm actually walking in. And so I plan on increasing my 4 to 6 mileage a day to 5 to 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's
how I relax, though. I know people are like, that's how you relax? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do this by yourself, right?
I do it by myself. I don't answer the phone. Uh-huh. And half of the walks I do with music, half I just listen to the street sounds and what's going on around me. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a mixed bag of like what I'm in the mood for that day.
I'll tell you a funny story that I just heard this last night, and it just wiped me out laughing. It's probably not as funny as I think it is. So my daughter-in-law was on a Zoom call with me and my stepmother, actually, and we're painting, okay? And so Jamie, who has a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, and you know, permission from me to say whatever she wants, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
So she's telling us that at about 9 o'clock, we had been on for about half an hour, and she says, man, I'm getting so tired. I just, you know, we haven't slept well for the last couple of nights, and the baby's gassy. And she says, I'm going to have to go. And then she tells us that what's happened is they got a sound machine for the kids in the kids' room, so that if they have to go into the room during the night for the baby, that they won't wake up the 3-year-old. And I said, yeah, that's smart to do. I think that's really smart. So she's there during the call. She's got her baby monitor on, okay? The sounds from the sound machine are like birds chirping and a gentle breeze blowing and whatever. It was putting her to sleep. She was accidentally relaxing. And she told us that the other day she was kind of doing the same thing. The kids were napping and she was in her room reading a book. She's reading the Outlander series, which is like, you know, 10 books of 9 million pages each. And she says she had the baby monitor on and the sound machine is going. And she says the next thing she knew, she was waking up and it was 2 hours later. She fell asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's relaxing. Yeah.
So my relaxing
is the opposite, right?
Your relaxing is the on purpose kind of relaxing, but maybe you'll stumble across some accidental relaxing.
We'll see.
Good idea. You know what I do to relax, Penny Rich? I vote. I got my ballot in the mail. I assume you got yours as well.
I did, yeah.
They all went out last Friday. We're recording this on Friday, the 11th, and they all went out last Friday. I had a friend in Durham got hers on Saturday. I got mine on Tuesday. That's very fast. I mean, it's a holiday weekend, so there's no mail on Monday. I'm not worried about that.
I got mine on Tuesday also. And so, you know, everyone in my family is voting by mail. So they all came at the same time. All on Tuesday. I will bring them up to the BOE. And, you know, there's different ways of delivering back to the BOE.
Right.
And you can go up to the BOE in Hillsborough. And, you know, I think there's a line to get in. You're outside. You go in. You sign a log that you handed your ballot in. And then you move on. It's pretty quick. You can do it that way. You could send it back by mail, which I know a lot of people are doing also because they're not concerned after they saw how this moved pretty quickly. But you can also bring your mail-in ballot, your absentee ballot, to any early voting site. There will be a separate table to drop your absentee ballot off. So you don't have to wait in line to vote. You could just go into the early voting site, drop your ballot off, sign the log, and split. So it's going to be a separate table.
I'm glad you're mentioning that because when that happens, the ballot is then in the possession of the Board of Elections.
That's correct.
At the early voting site. They're not going to open it and run it into the machine to be counted.
They will not. They will deliver them up to the BOE. So they will be opened on Election Day or soon after Election Day. We'll see how things go. Every night there's a collection of ballots.
Right. So they won't remain at that site for 2 weeks or whatever.
They will not. Every night they will be sent up with all the other ballots to the BOE. So you don't have to worry about your ballot hanging around in, you know, Carrboro Town Hall or in the Seymour Center or anything like that.
Right. Or in the trunk of anybody's car or anything like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
They treat it like the sacred thing that it is. And they have that record of you presenting your ballot.
That's right.
If folks haven't received one of these, and you can still request one now, there's plenty of time. That ballot has a form on the outside of the envelope, basically, that's your affidavit that it's your ballot. So they can validate right then when they take it, that is your ballot. And if anybody else comes in and tries to submit an in-person misrepresentation of you submitting your ballot, which is extremely unlikely, that is way outside of the Goldilocks zone, by the way.
Exactly.
Then they will be able to reconcile these and determine that the one that you submitted when you submitted it is your ballot. Signature.
That's right. And, you know, unlike what our president is trying to tell people to do, vote twice, please don't do that. That is against the law. It is a felony.
It is.
And
encouraging it is as well.
Encouraging it is a felony. If you did get an absentee ballot and you decide that you don't want to fill out that ballot, you can go to early voting or vote on that day. You can't do both, right? So that's the thing. You need to be very clear on which one you want to do.
That's right.
And I think most intelligent people understand that.
I think they do. I think that the clarity is very helpful. You can take this absentee ballot. You can fill the whole thing out. You can bring it with you. I mean, like, there might be races on there, for example. Not everything is about who becomes president. And there might be people on there and races on there that you want to do some investigation before you decide who you're going to vote for. And you can do all that in the comfort of your home at your computer or whatever. You can bring that with you and then use it as a draft, if you will, when you fill out your ballot at early voting, at the early voting site. You just only get to put one in the machine to
only
be run.
One.
Just the
only
one. Just
right.
the one.
Yeah. And you know, people be smart, right? This is not, honestly,
right.
this is not rocket science. This is,
yeah.
there's nothing changed in the way that we vote now, except that there is the ability to do some absentee or mail-in ballots, right? There's nothing else that's changed.
The stunning number that I heard about all this was that I think 4 years ago, there were about 35, 36,000 absentee ballots requested in North Carolina.
Yeah.
This year there were 618,000.
Yeah.
According to the
it's up
the
there.
Secretary
I mean,
of State.
I think in Orange County, combination, right? We still have a pandemic going on. COVID has not been canceled as much as people feel.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. And so,
it was in the paper.
The BOE is going to do the best they can to make sure that social distancing is happening. You will not be able to come in without a mask. And we can talk about masking again after we come back from break. But, you know, they're going to do their best to keep everything clean. And so it might take a little bit longer to vote, right? Because they're going to be wiping stuff down in between. And it should be okay. However, those of us that you know, my mom lives with me. She's 91. I don't. I run in and out of the grocery store. That's my.
Right.
That's how I. You know, if I do have to meet with people in person, it's outside on a field.
Right.
It's not inside at all. I'm not going to be inside with people for a very long time. I hate to say this, but it's not going to happen.
Because you have a 91-year-old mother living with
thank you,
who you would like to see become 92.
92, 93. I mean, we'll push for 95, but we're going to get our flu shots today, for example.
Right.
I mean, we're going to be in and out of family practice. I would imagine 10 minutes in and out, you know.
That's right.
Masked up, hands
that's
on,
gonna
temperature
be right.
taken, you know.
Yep.
It's just where we are right now. So, you know, if you want to vote in person, get a mask. You can wear gloves. You can do whatever you need to cover yourself up and try to get in and out as quickly as possible, which means, Gene, do your homework before you get there.
Right. Be ready to vote when you
get
there.
Be ready to vote when you get there. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Don't be that person in line who's trying to figure it out a moment before they hand you the ballot and saying, oh, I don't know. I always wondered about the, you know, the electioneering on the site and somebody saying, you know, oh, vote for this, you know, for the Secretary of Agriculture race and whatever. And I'm thinking, do you really think I'm just figuring this out as I'm walking in? I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people are.
They are, though. I can
they
tell
must
you,
be.
just from being out there and campaigning myself, there are so many people. And then there's a sad part also about people that are given poor advice. You know, for example, like only vote for one person in a two-person race. That is poor advice. And you know, then people get confused because they come up and they're like, wait a second, I can vote for two people? Well, I was told when I got an email to only vote for one person. So, you know, that's why you really got to do your own homework. You've got to, I mean, and it's all available. I have the website pulled up right now. There is so much information out there.
Uh-huh.
It's just not that difficult.
And when the ballot says you may vote for two, you may vote for two.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
It's a two-person race. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about masks because, I don't know, you just can't talk too much about masks, I think. And lucky for us, we're talking again with Penny Rich, who is always generous with her time and does not have to provide food because we're not in person. Normally, I'd be hoping for cookies, election cookies.
Yeah. But they're there. They're in the freezer.
They're in the freezer. Yeah, it's coming. Election night. We should talk about that, too, what your plans are for election night. So we're gonna talk some more with Penny in just a minute. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, and we're going to talk a little bit, I promise, not too much, about the Orange County law and the real world of compliance with a mask mandate. I sent you a picture the other day of a couple of folks in a local food establishment, one of whom was wearing a mask improperly with his nose sticking out. I see that more often than I'd like to say. And another who just wasn't wearing one at all. And, you know, this was only two guys in a sandwich shop in Hillsboro. So the place was not crowded with a lot of people. But I'm pretty confident that the guy with no mask at all was violating an Orange County mandate to wear a mask. And my question for you is, what is the current state of that in our county? And let's see how to put this delicately. What the hell is wrong with people?
Yeah. And so let's go with question number one first, because it's a good question. COVID is not canceled. I can't say that enough. We've lived with it for 6-7 months, so we're getting a little bit more used to our new patterns in life. Right. But the virus is still out there. We are still clocking cases every single day. In Orange County, we are roughly about 6.2% positive cases, which is not good. We need to get below 5% to feel more comfortable. With that said, no one has released the mask mandate, which means that when you are going outside in public, you need to be wearing a mask if you can't be 6 feet apart from someone outside. Inside, you should be wearing a mask all the time. There is no reason to go into an establishment like you were talking about and send photos of without a mask. Right. There's no reason for you to do that. And, Jean, there is no reason for someone in that establishment to serve someone without a mask.
Yeah.
Because it is a mandate. And so that means you need to wear a mask.
Right.
Period.
And, you know, word gets out among the folks who are wanting to make this a civil rights argument, which of course it isn't. And we're not going to waste any airtime discussing that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Word gets out among that crowd that you can go to this sandwich shop or that one and they won't hassle you about this mask nonsense, quote unquote, right?
Right.
So I think that for business owners, it's, you know, if you let it go once, you let it go twice, you're going to put yourself in the middle of a mess. You know, there is an amazing disconnect among some Americans who will see themselves as standing firm on this issue, insisting that they will not have their rights violated by wearing a mask to protect their fellow citizens. And yet will then go to the airport and practically strip naked before having an x-ray to make sure that they're not carrying any contraband material onto a commercial aircraft, and they have no problem with that.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
Seriously. I mean, you can see tattoos in places you shouldn't be seeing them, but
yeah.
That's okay.
Nobody needs to see this. Yeah.
But put a mask on. Oh, no. No, no, no. You know why this happened, though, because of the mask and the COVID-19 virus all got politicized from the very beginning. And so that we go back to that non-Goldilocks zone,
right,
where people are so polarized that, you know, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm just not going to do it. And you can see that happening now. Look, we see mass gatherings at political rallies.
Or one side. Yeah.
On one side, they don't have masks on. I mean, and they're so close to each other. I know they're outside, and being outside is definitely an advantage, right? Mm-hmm. We know that now. Being outside is much, much better than being inside. However, think about being so close to people. And I mean, because that's the goal, right? To crowd people in so it looks like there's a lot of people. Yeah, look at Sturgis. What's something right. like, you know, 200,000 cases possibly from Sturgis right. alone?
Right.
That from is that one event. Insane. Right. One event.
Outside.
So I'll mm-hmm. say it again. COVID is not canceled. Wear your mask. Use your brain. Stay away from it. I walk every day. We just talked about me walking, right? I walk yep. every day. That's my zone. I don't wear a mask all the time when I'm walking. But if I see right. people, I have my gator on.
But
I
you have it right there.
It's right there. You pull it up. You take it back down. You know, it works. I know how to stay 6 feet away from people. I know what 6 feet looks like, you know? I mean, Joey Ramone was 6'6". So there's your guide right there. It's a Joey Ramone away.
Yeah, it's a Joey Ramone away. Oh, boy.
I don't know if everybody's going to get that one, Gene.
I like that. Oh, man. We're so old. It's just, it's not right. You know, well, my brother is 6'6", 6'5" and a half. So
it's a brother away.
Yeah, so it's a Chris away. It's one. You know, my brother, I was explaining to my grandson the other day that my brother can stand in the doorway of any doorway in my house. These are 6 feet, six openings, right, for a door. And it's, you know, if he grows out his hair, he could be touching the top of the doorway.
Sure.
Because Winter's never seen him in person.
Oh.
And I said, that's how big Uncle Chris is. And Winter says, wow, you know, that's big. He's big. Yeah, well, you know. So it's not like it's a decision he made. Don't give him too much credit. You just go to
exactly.
his head. If it goes to his head, then he'll bump his head on the doorway. So that's how I look at it. Yeah.
From his swollen head. I just want to say one more thing about masks before we move on. We're going to be wearing masks for, you know, at least through the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
It is, because now we're going to get into flu season as well, right?
Exactly.
So, again, exactly. I'm going to get the flu shots today. Mom and I are going over. But this is another reason why to wear a mask, right? Not everybody's going to get a flu shot. You know, it's surprising.
Yeah, but everybody, almost everybody should, unless there is a medical reason for you not to get one. Sometimes there is because of allergies and whatever. But get a flu shot. Take your best shot. Get a flu shot. And, you know, just think of it as avoiding other respiratory illnesses that are contagious, that if you did get COVID would make it much, much worse. So
much worse.
Yeah.
Much
get, worse. A yeah. shot, get a flu
get
shot.
Get a flu shot. And take a family member, take a friend, you know, get it together. Do it.
Yeah. Make it a thing.
It's like voting. You bring your family member or friend.
People in this town have been going out with friends for shots for a long time. They've been going to different locations, but all right. So we're gonna take another quick break, and we're gonna come back and talk about something very lighthearted. I don't know what it's gonna be. Probably, fear and politics and why they don't belong together. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more with Penny Rich. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. All right, we're going to wind up with Penny Rich. We've been talking about voting and masks, and you know, fear is an incredibly powerful thing. You know, advertisers have used fear. People who sell things have used fear in different ways for a very long time. You remember the, you remember from your history books how Lyndon Johnson had the Daisy ad that was a little girl walking through a field with daisies, and then there was a mushroom cloud of a nuclear blast. And this ad was so controversial, it aired once, like in a town of 5,000 or something. But it was so well known because it was so epically terrifying that it's absolutely advertising history. It is taught in textbooks for various reasons, one of which is you don't necessarily have to air your ad everywhere for everybody to know about it. And of course, these days with digital platforms and digital content, you don't even have to put it on television for everybody to see it on television, because if it's controversial and click-worthy enough, the news networks will pick it up and air it, and you won't have to pay for that because they're airing it as news content. So groups like the Lincoln Project and these groups that are against Trump, boy, they're going to go to town in the next 8 weeks. And my prediction is, Penny, most of their ads are going to contain 80% of their content is going to be Trump in his own words.
Yeah, and I think that's right, Gina. I mean, it's a really good point, is that you, you're creating ads for the other side. That's what he's doing now. He's been doing that for 4 years. I mean, there is a lot to pick up on. And I think that, you know, the Lincoln Project, whoever's working on those ads are just brilliant. And they're quick. They're turning them around really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, most of them, you're right, are on you when you go on Facebook or Twitter or any of these other platforms.
Right.
That's where they are. And so they're smart. They're utilizing the media the way that they should be. But yeah, I mean, if you have someone that will just spew anything out of his mouth whenever he wants.
Right.
And doesn't realize it. I mean, even you and I realize that everything we do now is recorded.
Right.
Everything. At meetings, I mean, you know, you whether it be a hot mic, someone can have a camera on you. It's everything you do, you've got to be really mindful of what you say and what you do now. It's not like the old days. Everybody's got it right at their hand. They got a camera.
They do.
You know, but I think that the problem with this person in the White House is that he's living in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, right? He's not living in 2020. And so the way that he does things is like when he was 40, not like when he's 70.
And yeah, and when he says make America great again, what he really means is make it how it was when I thought I was on top.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, his perception that he was on top is something that was falsely created and pumped up by his father. His father subsidized everything he did. He really hasn't been successful in anything. Absolutely anything.
Nothing. Yeah. And you know, people, I grew up in New York City and, you know, remember the Donald Trump days when he was like making the magazine, The Enquirer, when he was on the front cover of that. And, you know, I would see Trump out in the Palladium in the limelight when I was like in my 20s going out dancing every night, and he'd be there. Everybody knew he was a disgusting human being. Everybody knew that he was just, you know, out partying when his wife was home with the kids. I mean, it's just, this is not a person that who should ever have been considered for presidential material at all. The fact that this country put him in office is still shocking to me. And that's 4 years ago. So let's skip fast forward to 4 years now. And how are we feeling on election night, right? After we went through 2016, which was just such a jolt.
It's a trauma. It was a trauma.
It was horrible.
A shock to the senses. Yeah. I went to bed that night. The race hadn't been called yet, but it was very clear to me what was going to happen. I went to bed. I got up in the morning. I put on the TV and the red chyron was on there. Trump elected president. And I mean, I just felt like I had a hangover for a month. I had such a headache of the disconnect and the sense of dread and violation. I couldn't stand it. And honestly, I don't know how the staff at Obama's White House got through that. I really don't. Trump was there 2 days after the election because Hillary conceded the next day, and then Trump went there, I think, 2 days after the election. And Obama's staff was completely civil to him. Of course they were.
Of course they were.
Because they're professionals.
Right.
But I can't imagine how what a gut punch that must have been for them.
Oh,
and
horrible.
Trump walks in and says, you know, well, how many of these folks are staying? And Obama says to him, none of them. You have to staff the White House. This is what you were supposed to be doing in the transition.
Right.
And but, they didn't. Yeah. I mean, they came in. They came in very light on staff, shall we say.
His family. The family came in.
They're incompetent.
Horrible.
Staff people and secretaries and what. They just didn't know what to do.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. And he's like, how many? He didn't even call them. You didn't even call them people. You're being generous. He said, how many of these do I get to keep?
Right, exactly.
It wasn't like human beings. He was like, how many of these do I get?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't get any of these.
Yeah, by the way, that thing about what you do with people handing them over, like you own them, we ended that some time ago.
That was your guy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was your guy, actually. Well, Penny Rich, on that note, on that emancipating note, we will say farewell and encourage you to enjoy getting your flu shot with mom.
Oh boy, it's gonna be an adventure.
Going out for shots with mom. Get a tattoo while you're out.
Ooh,
come on!
I need a new tattoo. Yeah,
you could
get
some tequila and round out the day. Right?
Make it a day. And there you go.
Make it yours, yeah. Penny Rich. I thank you so much for joining us. It's always my joy to talk to you.
Yeah.
And we'll send everybody off and say, have a great weekend. Get your flu shot. You can get them anywhere, everywhere. Make your arrangements. Make your plan. Get your flu shot. Get your ballot. Get ready. Let's go. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.